to the Westlake Eye Specialist podcast series. The Westlake Eye Specialist podcast series is dedicated to discussing patient education and eye surgery technology for the benefit and learning of patients. By communicating new trends and state-of-the-art advancement in care, we hope to elevate our patients and their options for better eye health and surgical outcomes.
I would like to welcome everyone to the Westlake Eye Specialist podcast series. Today's guest is Dr. Zarmina Vindal, ophthalmologist from Austin, Texas. Dr. Vindal is joined in practice by Dr. Natalie Stanchio, Dr. Stanley Salny, and Dr. Michael Shapey. Westlake Eye Specialists are dedicated to excellence in patient care and also focused on bringing the most advanced technologies to patients for better visual outcomes. The topic of our podcast today is exploring the topic of dry eyes, also known as dry eye syndrome. Dry eye syndrome is one of the most common eye conditions in the world. Millions of Americans suffer from dry eye syndrome each year. Dry eye syndrome is a chronic and typically progressive condition. Depending on its cause and severity, it may not be completely curable. But in most cases, dry eyes can be managed successfully, usually resulting in noticeably greater comfort, fewer dry eye symptoms, and sometimes sharper vision. It can be a struggle for some people to find the right treatment for their symptoms. Different treatments work for different types of dry eye syndrome. Luckily, there are many different treatment options available today. Dr. Vindal is here today to tell us a little bit more about this problem and how she is helping her patients in Austin to overcome this issue. Hello, Dr. Vindal.
Hi.
I know you're a busy ophthalmologist in Austin and dedicated to the latest technology for your patients. Tell us first a little bit about your practice as a whole before we delve into dry eye syndrome today.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me join you today. And a little bit about Westlake Eye Specialists. We are a technology-driven, state-of-the-art surgery practice in Central Texas. Each of us strives to deliver subspecialty care along with general ophthalmology to all of our patients. And we really make our focus the kind of cutting-edge surgical care for our patients here in Texas.
Great. It seems like, you know, compared to most practices, that your practice actually has an interest in dry eye. How did you first get interested in helping your patients overcome their problems with dry eye?
Yes, absolutely. We are. We're very lucky to have a trademark dry eye center called the Austin Dry Eye Center. And this is really a culmination of years and years of all of us being in practice and realizing that dry eye was, in fact, one of the most common causes of frustration amongst our patients. And while we were very well skilled in dealing with some of the most complex surgical issues there were out there, but when it came to the patient's happiness, dry eye was actually one of the most frustrating and difficult things to manage for patients. We're very unhappy on a daily basis, and really affected by it. So we really did what I think everybody should do. We listened to the patient. And that's really where the dry eye interest came from, and us trying to service our patients and one of the things that really bother them the most.
So what are some of the signs and symptoms or maybe pre-existing health conditions that may occur with dry eye?
Sure. You know, what's interesting is when people think about dry eyes, they assume that they're going to actually notice that their eyes are dry and that they'll be able to sense that. In fact, the reality is that dry eye symptoms come in lots of different forms. In fact, it's very rare that a patient's actually going to say, "My eyes are dry." As opposed to that, what they'll most commonly see are redness, feeling blurry when they first get up in the morning, the sense that something's in their eye. We call that a foreign body sensation or feeling like something's in their eye. A lot of times they'll say, "My eyes burn and sting." And so these are very commonly some of the symptoms that I think patients that aren't educated about dry wouldn't realize are all associated with eyes being dry. And you touched on maybe some other conditions that might be associated. And in fact, we've seen a huge gamut of patients that could have concurrent dry eye as a result of being diabetic, having thyroid problems, other autoimmune conditions. Allergies play a big role in dry eye, and conditions like glaucoma can affect dry eye in a different way, which is that patients are on years and years of chronic therapy with right. medications in their eyes, and those drops, in fact, induce and create dry eye.
Does excessive computer or screen usage lead to more dry eye?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, we're seeing younger and younger patients as people are getting more and more into computer use, iPad use, staring at our cell phones. Dry is becoming an issue for patients at even a younger age than it used to be. So staring at a screen decreases our blink rate. It decreases the amount that the glands in our eyelids are going to pump properly, and patients frequently come in that are in the tech arena or staring at a computer for other reasons, and they have a lot of dry eye issues.
Since your practice is very dedicated to, you know, helping people with dry eyes, what are some of your treatment options?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go into that. We really look at dry eye as a multifactorial issue. We like to kind of break it down so that our patients can understand the fact that we have basic lubricating treatments that help to increase moisture. We have different procedures that can help to increase moisture. And then we have treatments that fight inflammation. So we like to divide dry eye into two parts: increasing moisture and fighting inflammation. And we have a complex number of different treatments that we have dedicated ourselves to in our dry eye center for both. So if we're talking about moisture, we have simple over-the-counter treatments we can recommend that come in the forms of drops and gels. We also have different in-office treatments that are covered by insurance. A great one would be the use of, believe it or not, amniotic membrane to heal the cornea and add moisture. And we even prepare our own eye drops that we create in the office. We're one of the only practices in the entire state, and I would say even nationally, that create serum eye drops for patients to increase moisture and heal the eye. And then there's the flip side of that, which I alluded to, which is inflammation. And again, we have at-home treatments that patients can use, and very, very effective in-office procedures called LipoFlow and IPL laser that do create a huge improvement in inflammation for dry eye and then thereby reduce symptoms.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up LipoFlow. I actually hear a lot about meibomian gland dysfunction. Can you explain how this relates to dry eye syndrome?
Absolutely. You know, there was a time when dry eye was really only diagnosed when the patient would come in and say, "I feel bad." And the problem with that is there was a silent amount of invisible damage and destruction happening because of chronic inflammation that we weren't able to detect because we literally had no way to know that it was happening. So this would go on for a while. It would damage architecture of the patient's eyelid that naturally needs to be healthy. And once enough damage happened, then the patients would start to feel dry. Well, then it was too late because there's already so much damage that's happened. Well, that damage occurs in a gland of the eyelid called the meibomian gland. And if we took a picture of the inside of your eyelid, you would have rows and rows of these glands that live on the inner aspect of the eyelids. And these glands are super important. If they are healthy and they are open and they are pumping and active, they are going to create an oil layer of our tears, our natural tears, that is super important to help these tears stick to our eyeballs. And so if you have inflammation that is chronic, these glands will first start to get plugged up. Then they are no longer functioning, and then eventually, unfortunately, they will die out. And when these glands start to die out, our tears become unhealthy, and it's a vicious cascade that occurs. And the other unfortunate part of this is if a meibomian gland dies, there's no way to really grow it back. So what we're lucky now to be able to do is we can actually make images of these meibomian glands in our office with a very helpful scan called a LipoScan. And we can really look at every patient one by one, see the extent of their meibomian gland damage, and really customize our treatments based on how much damage they have. So that meibomian gland is in fact super important in this whole dry eye process.
Yeah, I'm just curious, are there any preventative things that patients can do at home to keep these glands healthy?
Absolutely. The number one thing I would say, first of all, is routine follow-up. There are tons of patients walking around totally asymptomatic that already have meibomian gland loss. We have seen it in children, people in their 20s and their 30s. There is no predilection of age. This is not an old person's disease. Now, by the time the problems start, you might be older, but a routine regular eye exam with a practice that specifically has imaging to be able to look at your glands is important. You will be surprised at how many patients we pick up with very mild early meibomian gland loss that have no symptoms at all yet. Secondly, it's just simple techniques at home that can really keep these glands open, healthy, and functioning. And we refer to those as warm compresses and lid scrubs. With a warm compress, you are basically heating and opening the glands. And with a scrub, you are using a specific chemical that is designed to help disinfect, if you will, and keep these glands healthy. And we have, after seeing patients go through, you know, years and years of using different kinds in our office, we have multiple recommendations for patients in different masks they can use and different scrubbing devices and, treatments that they can use to keep those glands healthy. And they do it on a daily basis, and it really goes a long way in prevention for the future.
Thank you for that commentary. What would you say to a patient who is actually suffering from dry eyes or think they're suffering from dry eyes? Where do they get started? What do they do?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I will say is it's very disheartening to a lot of patients of dry eyes because they really feel that there's so many doctors out there that tell them there's just nothing they can do besides just go home and do lubrication drops. And the first thing I would say to these patients is there is most definitely a solution for you. We like to really figure out the type of dry eye they have first and then show them what it is that's lacking and really guide and point and target our treatment towards their particular problem. So if a patient's suffering from dry eyes, I would tell them, get a workup, go to a place that has a dry eye center and get a full evaluation so you can see exactly what's wrong, because 9 times out of 10, specifically inflammation-related dry eye in particular, is underdiagnosed, and they have a problem they don't even know is going on. And so people suffering from dry eye can often really, really turn it around significantly if they go to the right place.
That's great. So, like, how in particular is your practice unique with the different options that you have for treating dry eye?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a full printed protocol that we use for patients that suffer from dry eye that goes well beyond just doing things like drops and gels. We provide just as many options to treat inflammation for dry eye than we do to treat the effect of the inflammation, which is the actual dryness. Some of the things that we do that we find that many doctor's offices do not carry, first of all, is the imaging. So we image the meibomian gland apparatus, and anybody that shows even a hint of early dry eye or is complaining of any symptoms at all. Secondly, we have a number of different types of treatments that they can do. So, for example, LipaFlow is a great example. This is a specific treatment designed to treat the meibomian gland problem that I described earlier, which is, in fact, FDA approved and research proven. The folks who came up with LipaFlow were able to show that just with one treatment a year, patients could decrease the chance of losing glands. So we offer LipaFlow, and we went one step further and brought a second modality into our dry eye center last year called TearCare. There are a handful of patients that are not good candidates for LipaFlow because the apparatus in of itself may not fit in their eye properly. Well, we now offer them TearCare. And then a third modality we have is IPL laser, intense pulse light laser, which has been shown over the last 10 years in being incidentally used in other forms of treatment. Like rosacea, it's been incidentally shown to improve dry eye, again, because it reduces inflammation. So we're one of the only carriers of the IPL laser in our region. And then finally, we're very unique, like I said, because we create serum eye drops for our own patient in-house. If you look at the history of serum eye drops, these are drops that were created by pharmacies years and years ago and cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars for patients. Very complex to go in and have a pharmacy draw your blood and create these drops. Well, we're a unique practice in that we create a very simple process of how this can happen right in our office, so patients do not have to go to the pharmacy and get it done.
That's just a tremendous value that you're providing to these patients. What would you say to a patient seeking a second opinion about their dry eye diagnosis? Is this something that you might be able to, it sounds like you're doing some very unique things. Is there something you could do to help?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first thing that would be very different for them in our particular dry eye center is taking a look at the causes. Frequently, the cause of the dry eye is never narrowed down, whether there's allergy relation, whether there's eye drop relation, whether there's the inflammation going on. And so we diagnose the issue that creates the onset of the dry eye. We do the imaging, which is very different. And then we are offering these special treatments in our dry eye clinic ongoing through a dry eye coordinator who has over 25 years of experience in ophthalmology that we have specifically trained to help with these treatments. And so patients are really able to not only narrow down their issue, but then they're able to get these ongoing treatments. One of the things that I definitely want to point out, you know, we talk about all these different causes. We have a special interest in not only dry eye, but glaucoma and dry eye. I told you about earlier that glaucoma patients on drops for years and years and can actually induce dry eye because of the therapy. On the one hand, we're trying to take care of a particular problem, and then we're creating another one. Well, we're one of the only glaucoma practices in the country, really, that is treating dry eye in glaucoma patients, and I was lucky enough to actually present some of our research on this at the one of our ophthalmology meetings last year in 2019, Association of Cataract and Refractive Surgery, where I presented a paper on us actually using a amniotic membrane to treat patients. I would say to the glaucoma patients, if they're listening in particular, and a huge percentage of them suffer from dry eye, 25 to 30% of them actually suffer from dry eye, I would say to them to come to a place like ours and use things like amniotic membrane and other things to treat their dry eye instead of just ignoring it.
So what are some of the other new things on the horizon? Some new treatment options maybe? What's up and coming these days with dry eye?
Yeah, it's a really exciting and ever-changing field. When we looked at that healing amniotic membrane for glaucoma, we were one of the first ever to really describe it and write about it. And so we are now using that regularly and even looking at the potential of a new regenerating drop called Regenerize and bringing that into our dry eye center as something that could be healing for patients with dry eye and glaucoma patients with dry eye in particular. We also have a new interest in looking at steroid treatment for dry eye. And there are some really exciting new tear duct plug-like steroid treatments that we are going to be doing a study with, actually.
Interesting.
And looking at steroids being put into the eye long-term as an extended release to help treat and heal the cornea. So that's super exciting for us. And then we just looked at a new way to do an at-home cleaning and scrubbing of the eye called New Lids. And that's hopefully a product that we hope to bring to our patients soon. So it's a really exciting and interesting part of our practice. And it's very gratifying because if we can turn around a patient's dry eye, they really are thankful to us for life. It's a huge decrease in quality of life that dry eye produces for a lot of our patients, but that can really be such a positive experience for them if we can, you know, just make even a single day better for them.
Well, thanks for being so informative on our podcast today. Westlake Eye Specialists is dedicated to creating a center of excellence for dry eye treatment. If you feel that you are suffering from dry eye, do not hesitate to contact us for an appointment. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed the Westlake Eye Specialist podcast series.